We keep waffling until somebody hears us. Start the webcam viewer, that would help. Would help. Would help to do something. Oh, look, that's last week. We've changed the lighting set up and there's all in the darkness. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, what's going on? Well, I'm getting some audio somewhere. Yeah, maybe we are going out. Yeah, all right, then start talking back, me. You're on.
What are we talking about?
I don't know. What do you want to
do? Why has it all
about?
Gone dark?
Why has it all gone dark? Because I haven't got the light on. Give me a minute to put the light on.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so you look like near us.
We can hear you. Oh, great. Oh, great. Hi, hello, folks. How you doing? Can't hear what they're saying, though, can you? We can hear you. It's dark in England. Yes. I'll have a look out the window and just check. Yes, it's dark.
Yeah, I tried pointing the webcam out the window, but all I can see is a couple of silly lights. It's not enough. Not enough to see anything.
No.
But there you go. We're on.
It's dark and it's raining and it's not very warm. It's a miserable day in England, but there's no snow.
No, not yet. Not yet. But it might be later on.
I think it'll be a little bit too warm for snow, actually. It'll have to drop a little bit first.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe tomorrow.
Oh,
so, what do we want to talk about today? Any ideas?
I don't know. Hang on, what are you on about, Dredd? Next time you could start screaming already or so earlier, what? Light, sound, drums, guitar, let there be a rock. Same as here, I hear. What, huh? What is a Dartmoor? What use do they have? Well, apart from being a wet, windy place to lose soldiers.
Mainly, you know what a moor is. A moor is a piece of open land that's rather wet and soggy, and not much in the way of trees, but a lot of rocks and marshy ground. What I think you call a fagu, something like that. Well, if you have one of those with a river running through it called Dart, River Dart, they call it Dartmoor. It's the banks of the River Dart where it's very soggy. And if you walk in it, water flows up and over and into your boots. You know? But it's quite an interesting place because parts of Dartmoor...
It's good if your stream is a little before the top of the hour already. Yeah, well, I was waiting for the other one to finish. Sorry, I'm waffling in the background. Sorry.
Yeah, well, see, nobody tells us these things. We have to find out by...
By getting too late.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Someone's quit, yeah? Oh, no.
Someone's gone, someone's coming back, so I don't know.
Well, Dartmoor covers quite a large area in our country, a place called Dartmoor, where the River Dart flows down across the rocky ground. But there are dry patches on it as well. There's not really moor, they're more sort of open heathland. And there, the soil depth is only about 3 centimetres. So when a vehicle goes over it, or a cart, or a bicycle, or anything, it stirs it up, breaks it down. And things come to the surface, things that have been buried under a thin layer of earth for a long time. I have a brother who lives there, on Dartmoor, and he takes his dog for a walk every day and picks up tools made by Stone Age people 7,000 or 8,000 years ago. All the time he's picking up arrowheads and things. And believe it or not, that's me there looking like he's asleep. Yeah, that's me. Is it me? Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is you. I'll just change the lighting around a little bit. I'm sorry. I'll just better put some light on the subject as you'll do.
Another interesting thing about Dartmoor is they have big rocks that stick up out of the ground. They're a bit like a cadaver with the sort of bits of the bones sticking out of the body. You know, it's rotted away a bit, and you get the bones of the planet sticking out like a bit of a backbone. And the wind, over the centuries, blown on these, has scored them and made patterns on them. So a lot of them look like they're flat stones standing one on top of the other. and they look quite dramatic to see them. And they've even got some on there that rock in the wind, but they don't fall over. It's a fascinating place.
Think on that.
So if any of you get a chance to go to Dartmoor, or when you're on holiday or visiting England, and you go to a place in right in the middle of Dartmoor called Moulton Hampstead, look out for the art gallery. It's my brother's place. Go and see Mick the Miller, the artist, because he does some beautiful pictures of how the moor used to be thousands of years ago, and you'll find them very interesting. And they're well worth buying and bringing home.
Oh, the pictures you mean, yeah. Sorry.
Are those standing stones made by Druids? No.
No, the Druids couldn't make a cup of tea, let alone
they might have
something.
Used them, but they didn't make them.
No, I'm not wishing to offend any of our Druid listeners, of course, but... Pendragon, whatever his name is.
Arturo Pendragon, yeah.
He was on the telly again the other day.
Yeah.
The usual thing.
But, unfortunately, the Druids are comparatively modern. The people who made a lot of these things that they get the Druids get the credit for were made a couple of thousand years before the first Druid. They're much older.
So what about when you go off down your brothers into the country and wander off a bit further? What are those funny little pixie things?
Ah.
Tell us about pixies.
About pixies? Oh. I shouldn't tell
or
you. Piskies, yeah.
Whatever they want to call themselves.
A long time ago, before England became civilised, there were people living here, but they weren't civilised. It wasn't until the Celts came here that they brought civilization, as they call it, to us. And before them, there were people here, and some people came who from the Mediterranean. There's a whole long background behind them, but I won't go into that, it'll take too long. But they came here trying to escape from the intolerance of the Mediterranean countries and trying to find a new homeland to live, find a new place. And they landed in Devon, which is a bit further on from Glastonbury, if you know where Glastonbury is in England. It's more to the west. And when they landed there, the locals have said, "Oh, what are you doing on our land? You know, want to check them off." Anyway, one of the leaders, was a wrestler. You know, people who fight barehanded and that. And he was a champion for the invaders. When I say invaders, there were only about 40 of them. There weren't many, you know, there's one ship full.
Yeah, we'd call them economic refugees or something. Yeah.
But they fought the local fella, and they had a long battle. And eventually got him lifted up and threw him out of the ring. And so they became leaders, not invaders, leaders in that area. And one of them, Corineus, the wrestler, he took over the land from there to the sea, what we now call Cornwall and Devon. And this is why Cornwall's court is named after Corineus, who cut that part, Curno. It's the old name for it. The other fellas went eastward and founded a place we now call London, among other places. It wasn't the capital city in those days, it was just a port on the river. But... the main city of the country in those days was in Colchester, of course. Colchester wasn't all that much of a main city, even. It was a bit bigger than the other city, but not like we think of a city today.
It had three pubs. That's why it was the city.
It didn't really sort of make the grade as a city, and really until later when a king called Caractacus came there and made it the proper main city. Not the capital, but the main city for the Celts in that area. They had allegiances with a lot of the other Celts in other areas, and they were the ones who fought the Romans when they came. But all that was a long time ago. Nowadays, Colchester is nothing very special, just a nice market town, you know.
Mind you, the Romans used to hang about there a lot too. Oh, yeah, right? They found it was not a nice place to be.
Yeah, because it was the capital city and they took it over, sort of thing, you know. But yeah. Boudicca sacked the place one time, you know.
She set fire to it, didn't she? Buried her horns. Bugged them up a bit.
Yeah.
But there you go.
And the Romans, of course, paid back by killing off all the Druids, or attempting to kill off all the Druids. Yeah, we've had a lot of wars in our country.
Yeah.
Mind you, we had to keep our heads down and keep out of the way because we were wild folk and
fair game,
yeah. Yeah, we were a target for everybody. Oh, where's this cup of coffee?
It's coming, hang on, I'll see if I can speed it up a bit.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a cold and I've got a throat like a griller's armpit, so I'm feeling a bit dry.
No, I didn't need that, did you? Thanks. Hang on, I'll see if I can speak the coffee up.
Yeah, OK.
You keep waffling.
Now, what are we going to talk about today? Strongest acid, Druids. Ah. Now, the people who lived in Cornwall before Corineus came there, I'm not quite how to describe this. There were semi-civilized people and people like us. And the people like us who lived in that area are the people we know nowadays as Piskies. Not Pixies, Piskies. And they were an Aboriginal race like us. Small, like us. I think, myself, they were relations of ours. Had drifted off and lived in another area and slightly differently to us, you know. But they had I'm not sure how to describe these. You see, we never talk about these things, so we don't have the right words to say what I want to say. But in those days, they lived in the woods and things, like us. And there were other tribes also in that area. And one of the other tribes who lived in that area were small, but they were stocky, fleshy, roundish, you know. Not very tall, but quite round, round the middle. Can you hear that? That's my stomach. They were quite stocky in that area. They had a layer of fat. And they were rather hairy. We called them the hairy ones. And they used to have religious places that they built underground. They were like a... I don't know what you're describing. Like a carport. A sort of a... A ramp going down, along a bit, round a curve, and up again, with the roof over it. Funny little sort of curved places, about 2 or 3 metres across, a couple of metres high, and maybe 25 metres long. And these things are still there. And we didn't go that down to that end of the country. in the old days. So we never saw them. We never saw them until the last couple of centuries. So we've no idea what they were used for either. Maybe because the furry folk had their...
Mackenzie Heist Cafe.
Thank you.
Which is hot.
Thank you, Val.
Liv? Back in a moment, I've just got to risk my tea now.
Netherlands juice. Coffee. You're familiar with it, are you? Do you drink coffee in your country? That's one of the bad habits I got into when I lived in your country.
Slurping coffee, yeah.
Yeah, slurping coffee. When I left England, but before I went to the Netherlands, I thought coffee was the thing that they sold in England called coffee.
Oh, you mean that funny brown liquid?
Nowadays, we would call it milk and dash or something. Because it was sort of hot milk with just a little dash of coffee in it. And then stirred in to make it slightly different colour to the tea.
Coffee verkeerd. Extremely verkeerd.
Yeah, extremely verkeerd. Very wrong, yeah. Coffee wrong. But when I went to the Netherlands, people said, you want a cup of coffee? And they gave me this brown stuff. And wow, I thought, wow, this is great.
Real coffee.
Yeah, I've got quite a habit in drinking it. Yeah, quite addicted. Now we have a curious situation. When we go to the continent, my wife takes tea bags, English tea, with her.
She's not the only one. I do.
Yeah.
I don't travel
with her. And I bring coffee back to drink when I'm at home.
Why not?
So I've a little cupboard in the kitchen full of coffee, the continental coffee that came back with me from various trips.
It's a bit dry after a while, but there you go.
Now it's all sealed up packs, you know. You know, they look like a brick wrapped up in silver paper and cellophane, you know. Freeze-dried packs, you know. Is it freeze-dried or whatever it is? Vacuum-packed. Vacuum-packed, that's the word.
Yeah, vacuum-packed, isn't it? Yeah. Because they only freeze-dry instant coffee. They can't...
Yeah.
You couldn't...
Actually...
No, the powdered stuff, you wouldn't bother. Once you've ground it, all you've got to do is pack it.
Years ago, I had a young fellow working with me, an apprentice I was training. And his dad was a coffee planter. Or coffee exporter from Africa. And he was telling me that when they make decaffeinated coffee, the freeze-dried one is much better for you than any other method. Because the other ones leave impurities in the coffee, which are not so good for you long term. But the freeze-dried one is done in a different way, and it doesn't have the impurities in it. So they've taken the caffeine out, but they haven't put anything back in its place, and it's likely to damage you. So if you're interested in decaffeinated coffee, get the freeze-dried version.
Senso isn't coffee. It's ground brown stuff.
Oh, I see. Is it? I wouldn't know. I'm an idiot, didn't you know?
Senso's one of the catering brands, and it's like... Well, it's brown, and it smells like coffee, but that's about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's the sort of coffee you get out of the machine at the gas station.
We had a machine at one of the factories I worked at, made by a firm called Ditchwater.
And it tasted like it.
Yeah, Ditchwater. And that served coffee, it said. Instant coffee. Oh, dear.
And if that's coffee...
Horrible it was.
Well, you know, it's like with these hot drinks machines. There's only one drink on it that's worth drinking, and that's the cold drink. And that's usually because they put too much syrup to water in it.
Mm.
You know. Well, I prefer tea, Linda, too, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But there again, I like English style tea with cow juice in it, which is.
Oh dear, I don't drink cow juice.
Cow juice. Yeah. No, I must admit, Dutch herbal tea is a bit of a strange brew. Mm. I've noticed in England we're starting to move, the market is starting to move towards herbal teas and fruit teas.
Yeah.
But they are strong compared to the Dutch ones.
Well,
English people want a cup of pink water that's actually got some pink flavour in it, yeah. Not just pink.
We have teas and they have tisanes. You know, theirs is a very, not weak, it's not weak, it's a, I can't think of, it's like with soup, you can have a clear soup, a Chinese soup for instance, which is just like water with a flavour, and you can have soup which is thick and you can stand a spoon and it stands upright, you know? And English herb tea is like the one we put the spoon in that stands upright. And Dutch tea is more like the Chinese soup, you know, chicken soup.
Transparent? I would say it was transparent. You could read the time through it. Sloop water. You want a lot of tannin, yeah. In it. Yeah, so you have to let it brew for a half an hour, Lotus. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in the north of England, they have tea, what we call stewed tea, the tea that's been mashed. Made and then kept
hot.
And kept hot for a long time. So it sort of stews a bit. A bit like making some sorts of soup where you sort of evaporate the water out of it. Some of this tea is so thick you could cut it in slices and put it between bread for sandwiches, you know. It leaves a stain on everything.
Doesn't it just?
And these poor people have to take their false teeth out at night and soak them in bleach to get them clean so they have clean teeth next day, you know.
Yeah, well, that's why there was a possum in England for having plastic teeth in the 60s. A, it got rid of all the pain and inconvenience, and two, you could take them out and bleach the buggers white again.
Yeah. They're the ones that used to show up in the disco. Under the what do you call it, lights?
The black light, black the light, ultraviolet
yeah.
light.
Ultraviolet light, yeah. It's glow in the dark.
Your teeth are like the stars, they come out at night.
Yeah. Yeah, what are we talking about? We got hijacked and sidetracked there somehow, didn't we?
Well, I don't know. You talk about pixies living in holes under the ground again, or whatever it was you were talking about. They're all wandering off about, make the tea off of that. Hang on. I was just saying hello to people at the moment, but.
As you may or may not know, one of the things that we used to make, which is what we still do, but we don't sell them on the continent very much, were charms, magic charms, made from a stone with a natural hole in it. You've probably been to a beach or a strand and picked up a pebble with a hole in it, and they say, oh, quite unusual, it's a natural hole. Maybe curved and not drilled through it, you know, a natural hole sort of stuff. And you say, oh, which is unusual. Well, in our family, we have the ability to go and pick these up by the dozen. So we use them for all sorts of things. They will hold a spell or a thought form, a program, very well. Now, in the River Dart on Dartmoor, there is a large one of these. That's been doing magical things for thousands of years. And the hole in the middle is so big, you can actually climb through it. It's a hole you can actually, it's in the river, bounced on a couple of other stones, and you can climb down through it, and be careful not to put your feet in the water at the bottom, and climb up the other side, you know? And the funny thing is, it does help you with things like rheumatism. trouble with your joints and your muscles. And it's well known.
I suppose if you can climb through the hole and out the other side again, you can prove that they're working anyway.
Yeah. And people travel from all over the place to climb through this hole. No?
So what's this stone called again?
I don't know.
You can't remember. It's in the Dart, River Dart.
It's in the River Dart, yeah.
So the locals might know.
The locals would know, yeah. You'd have to go down there and ask in the Vey. For those who don't know, the Vey is the tourist office, local tourist office. Or go and see my brother, he'll tell you what it is, yeah. Holy stones, yeah. A stone with a hole is very rare and much sought after by Wiccans. Yeah. Years ago, when I used to do exhibitions in London, when I used to have a stand at other people's exhibitions in London, where there were a lot of Wiccans going there, we used to sell lots and lots of these stones for all sorts of things. Today, I did 5 for people who had aches and pains, rheumatism and things like that, so they could hang it by their bed to help them cope with the pains and ease them off overnight, sort of thing, you know. What other one have we done recently? We have ones that protect the home, we have ones that protect people's business, ones that protect people's cars. We even have one that protect churches, yeah. We have all sorts of ones for sexual problems.
They've always been quite popular.
Yeah.
It's discreet, yeah.
It's funny, you know. We took stones like this with us when we went to the Netherlands, and nobody ever wanted to buy them, so we didn't bother taking them there anymore. We took them to Germany, and a few people bought them. But in England, they sell quite well. We had a fella who wanted... we have one which works like Viagra. It's a sort of a... It makes you feel like that you could do it all night, you know?
Don't need those little square blue pills, do you?
No, they're a bit cheaper. The cost of two of those blue pills would buy you one of these for lifetime usage. But anyway, we had a policeman in New York write to us wanting one of these. So I was making it for him and looking at his email message. And I had a feeling this chap was in grave danger. So I thought, hang on. I'm not happy. This is in great danger. I think I'm going to send him a rune script that my father had made for me when I had to go into the forces. When I went into the forces back in the 50s, you had to go whether you liked it or not. If you were warm and fit, reasonably fit, you got yanked in by the government into the forces. You had to do a couple of years, you know, national service. And at that time, there was a lot of fighting going on. I was sent out to stop the fighting in Cyprus. And my dad had a special rune to protect me. So I made a copy of this rune and sent it to the policeman in New York. And this was in August. And we got a letter back saying, thank you very much for it. And thank you very much for the old Nick's fingers, we called it. This Viagra son. And that was great, 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 he was saying, you know. So he's really happy with that. Anyway, we got a message back from him about the 15th of September to say that on the 11th of September he was on stand down because he'd done an extra shift the night before for one of his friends. Because they had something happening, you know, and a friend wanted to have the evening off, and he did an extra shift for him. So he was on stand down when the 9/11 catastrophe was happening. Him and one other fellow from his police station were off duty. The time they had heard about it and came in, the entire rest of the police people in their unit had all been killed when the tower came down. So it saved his life, but not all his friends. I wish we'd realised, you know.
Well, you're not the only one that didn't see that coming, so don't worry about it too much.
No, no. Where can you find stones with holes in? Quite simple, really. You have to go to a place where they're likely to be. A beach on the edge of the sea, where there are pebbles and the pebbles are stirred by the tide. Because this is a good place to find them. They roll about and the tide moves them. And if they're on the surface, you'll see them. You know? And then you look for a place on, where there's a beach like that, and a ley line crosses the beach. And that's where you look. Within about 3 or 4 metres each side of the ley line. And that's where they'll be. Nowhere else. Sorry. There may be the odd one kicking around on the rest of the beach. But if you want a bucket full of them, that's where you go. But I'm not going to tell you where I know ley lines cross the beach. That's my secret.
Nice, yeah. Excuse me, I'm just stopping my face. I didn't get your dinner.
Ginger?
I don't know. You must keep talking, you know. You can't stop.
Yeah,
for long.
I know. I know. Burping. Yeah, I can't stop for long. I know. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Well, how did you lot like the small gods thing last week? Do you want some more of that or not? I thought this week's episode was getting quite interesting. I was quite into that, but you gonna say a bit more about ley lines?
Oh, we can do that afterwards. Do the small gods first.
You want to take a little break then?
Yeah.
Well, if we play it now, it will take us up to just before we finish the programme, so you'll have to tease them with ley lines next week.
Next week, what I'll try and do is get some pictures of stones and put them on the website so you can look at them when we talk about them. Yeah, that's what I'll try and do.
All right, then, so if you hang on a moment, I'll try and get this up and running. Click. Technology, you just love it, eh? Right, now, if if we go quiet for a minute, don't worry about it, but we're just switching over. So, enjoy this. I enjoyed it. I think you will.
Now, for the next half hour, we're off for a second visit to Terry Pratchett's Discworld. Small Gods by Terry Pratchett, dramatised for radio by Robin Brooks. With Carl Prekop as brother, and Patrick Barlow as the great god Om.
Our story takes place on the Discworld, and has begun in the Holy Citadel, where novice priest brother has encountered the great god Om, inexplicably wandering the temple gardens in the form of a small, confused tortoise. Novice brother has also been selected by Deacon Vorbis to go on a secret mission to the infidel city of Ephebi. So the great god Om is going with him in a little wicker basket.
Is your basket comfortable?
I'm going to rattle around in here like a pea in a pot.
I could put some more straw in. I put some cabbage leaves in. I stole them from the kitchen. But then I thought, it can't be stealing if I'm doing it for you.
Whatever.
Oh, it's a bit chilly, isn't it? Dawn soon. Then I suppose we'll set off. Yes, camels look a bit grumpy. Look, over there. Mm. There's another expedition getting ready to leave. That's a coincidence. I wonder where they're going.
Hmm.
Good morning, brother.
Bugger off. Abyss says, woe unto he who defiled his mouth with curses, for his words will be as dust. Chapter 25, verse 6.
Does he? Well, he can bugger off too.
You're a member of the Divine Legion, I think. Why aren't you wearing a uniform? And where are you going with all those camels?
Probably to hell, just behind you.
According to the word of the prophet Ishkabal, a man needs no camel to ride to hell, yea, nor horse, nor mule. A man may ride to hell on his own tongue.
Does any old prophet say anything about nosy bastards being given a thump alongside the ear?
Woe unto him who raises his hand unto his brother, dealing with him as unto an infidel. That's Ossory, Precepts 9, verse 16.
Sod off and forget you ever saw us. Otherwise, you're going to be in real trouble, my friend. That's Sergeant Acta, chapter 1, verse 1.
I do as he says, if I believe.
Well, I hope your journey's a pleasant one, Sergeant. Whatever the destination.
That's it. Back away politely.
That man will have to spend some time in the hells of correction, if I'm any judge. Ah, I see our party's grown a bit.
What are you doing here, novice?
I'm going to Phoebe.
You? You're not even ordained. What makes you think you're going?
Because I told him so. Lord Vorbis. And now he will require a steed.
Yes, my Lord Vorbis, the very best stallion.
My friend brother is a humble man before Om. See, he holds a simple basket for his belongings. He would ask for no more than a mule, I have no doubt.
Other mule.
Brother?
I don't know how to ride, Lord.
Any man can get on a mule, often many times in a short distance. How many miles have you travelled, brother?
4 miles and 7 estado, Lord.
How do you know?
I just do, Lord.
And how long has our journey taken?
A little over 79 minutes.
Is it not strange, this ability to remember everything?
I don't understand how everyone else forgets.
Did your fathers have this remarkable facility?
There was only my grandmother.
Hmm.
Here come the rest of the soldiers.
What?
That cloud of dust behind us. Sergeant Akhtar on 98 camels with 402 water bottles. Oh, look. They're turning off into the desert. Why are they doing that?
You did not see them. They are not coming with us. You will forget about them.
Yes, Lord. How do I...
Just forget.
Yes. Om. Are you all right? Are you in there?
What is the matter, friend, brother? Something ails you?
I remembered about the God.
Ah, we should always remember the God and trust that he is with us on our journey.
Oh, he is. He is.
Your conviction is a beautiful thing to behold, friend brother. And we must bear with us the certainty that he will be with us in Ephebi among the infidels.
I'm sure he will.
And prepare ourselves for the coming of the prophet. The time of the 8th prophet is nigh.
Look, brother. The sea. Our trireme waits.
I've never seen the sea.
It washes unholy shores. It gives rise to dangerous ideas. Men should not travel. At the center, there is the truth. As you travel, so error creeps in.
Yes, Lord.
In Ossory's day, we sailed alone in boats of hide and went where the winds of God took us.
Didn't Ossory once sail to the island of Erebos on a millstone?
Nothing is impossible for the strong in faith.
Try striking a match on jelly.
Come forward, we will embark.
Who's that bugger? How long have I been asleep?
Lord Vorbis, I can't talk now.
Where are we? It's as hot as hell in here, I should know. This cabbage sticks like a swamp.
I'll let you out when we're on the boat singing. Come out now.
Where are we?
I found a place near the pointed end. Everyone's busy.
Where's that Lord Vorbis?
You truly are. The God would not talk like that about his chosen ones.
He's never chose anyone. Chose themselves.
If you're really on, stop being a tortoise.
You think I haven't tried?
Maybe you're just a tortoise who thinks he's a god.
I'd intended to be a big white bull.
Trampling the infidel.
Well, not my basic intention, but no doubt some trampling could have been arranged. 3 years later, I wake up and it turns out I've been a tortoise.
Where do gods come from? Where do they go? Some attempt to answer this was made by the religious philosopher Kumi of Smale. His theory was that gods come into being and grow and flourish because they are believed in. Belief itself is the food of the gods. Any god could start small, any god could grow in stature as its believers increased and dwindle as they decreased. It was like a great big game of snakes and ladders. When the Omnian Church found out about Kumi, they displayed him in every town within the church's empire to demonstrate the essential flaws in his argument. There were a lot of towns, so they had to cut him up quite small.
Enter. Yes, brother.
The captain sent me to fetch you, Lord. Something shining on the coast in the desert.
Good. The captain has a mirror, a forbidden device, but he is vain. You will ask to borrow it. Stand in the sun and move the mirror so that it shines towards the desert. Do you understand?
No, Lord.
Good. Come back and tell me what you see.
Yes, Lord.
The small gods chitter and whir in the wilderness. They swarm in the darkness, trying to be heard amongst countless others, driven by lust for one thing, belief. Om's chance came when a lamb strayed into a crevice. Om scared up a partridge, and the overjoyed shepherd found his sheep and set up a cairn of stones at the spot. As he lay down to sleep in the heat of the afternoon, Om spoke to him. 3 weeks later, the shepherd was stoned to death by the priests of Ur Gilash, but they were too late. Om already had 100 believers, and the number was growing.
Lucky I had a mirror. Shine it towards the desert. There. Oh, they're flashing back. 7 flashes. And 4.
I expect his lordship won't mind I had one. Now it's turned out so useful.
I don't think he thinks like that.
Oh. It'll be the acquisition for me, then.
I'm sorry.
Sorry? Aren't you supposed to say that the acquisition is good for the soul?
Yes.
It's flat, you know. I've sailed out under the rim ocean. And I see the edge. I know what's down there. Jack on those.
Brother.
Listen. The captain just said something odd. He said that the world is flat and has an edge. I think he's one of those people that believes it's carried on the back of a giant turtle.
Yes, so what? I didn't make the world, but here already.
But it's heresy to say that the world's flat.
Maybe, but it's true.
And it's really on the back of a giant turtle.
That's right.
So, what does the turtle stand on?
It doesn't stand on anything. It swims. That's what turtles are for.
I can't listen to this. Oh. I've got to report to Vorbis.
Next day, the ship rounded a headland, and the Bay of Ephebi lay before it with a city of white buildings. The Omnian embassy marched up from the harbour to the citadel.
They look like ordinary people.
Do they?
Brother Nimrod said the Ephebians eat human flesh. He wouldn't tell lies.
Oh, wouldn't he?
What are those?
Statues.
Who are they?
The tubby one with the toga is Tubblepit, god of wine. The broad with the hairdo is Astoria, goddess of love. The ugly one is Ofla, the crocodile god. He's Clachian, not a noble boy.
You talk as though they were real.
They are.
There is no other god but you. You told us to read that.
Well, you know, I exaggerated a bit. What's going on?
If you want to stop for some reason.
There's a naked old man running down the street.
Excuse me, why have we stopped?
Philosophers have right of way in Ephebi.
What is a philosopher?
An inventor of fallacies. This cursed city attracts them like a dung heap attracts flies. Move on, Sergeant.
Yes, Lord. Move on!
Ephebi is famous for its philosophers.
What? Old men running around with no clothes on? They can't be much use.
Look up at the highest tower of the citadel.
It's got a big metal disc on it. Very shiny.
That's the reason Omnia doesn't have a fleet anymore. It's always worth having a few philosophers about the place. One minute it's all, is truth beauty, and is beauty truth? And the next it's, I say, putting a 30-foot parabolic reflector on a high place to shoot the rays of the sun at enemy ships would be a very interesting demonstration of optical principles. Kapow! Lots of ideas, philosophers.
A Phoebe welcomes the Omnian delegation. At the entry to the labyrinth, the visitors must be blindfolded.
This is outrageous.
All must be blindfolded for the labyrinth.
Under protest.
You may remove the blindfolds when you are safely inside the citadel.
Forward 9 paces, left 1 pace, forward 19 paces, right 2 paces, up 3 steps. I wonder why they're bothering with these blindfolds. Forward 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
You may remove your blindfolds. Welcome to the Citadel. Let me show you to your quarters.
A bowl of fruit and everything. Mmm, delicious.
Come on, eat up quick.
Why?
Because we've got to go and find a philosopher.
Find a philosopher?
Someone who knows how to think. Someone who can help me stop being a tortoise.
But Vorbis might want me.
We're just going for a stroll.
But how do I find a philosopher?
Round here. Throw a brick, I should think.
The labyrinth of a TV is full of pitfalls and ingenious traps.
5 paces to the right, 2 paces left.
Hidden springs, razor knife blades, falling rocks.
3 steps down.
But all these are lost on Brother.
And 5 paces forward. There. Oh, lots of flowers in this city. Smells nice.
Mm.
But how are we going to find a philosopher?
I'm telling you! You listen! I find an interest, right? Cannot, by means of comparison, reach the absolute truth of things, because being by nature indivisible, truth excludes the concepts of more or less, so that nothing but truth itself can be the exact measure of truth. You bastard, said you. Right!
Ah, philosophy.
You, pal. I merely suggested, to indicate the nature of the paradox, that if Steno the Ephesians had all Ephesians alive...
Please, he did it again!
No, listen. Then since Steno is himself an Ephesian, this would mean that he himself is a liar, and therefore...
I kill him!
Excuse me. Are you philosophers?
That's right. We think, therefore we am. We are. We are, therefore we am.
The evidence of our existence is the fact of our existence. Is that what you say?
Shut up. And what can we do for you, young man?
Ask them about gods.
I want to find out about gods.
Gods? We don't bother with gods.
Relics of an outmoded belief system. Except for Hubal, god of lightning. And blind Io, the thunder god. And Flatulus, god of winds.
Oh, I see.
Good evening, young sir. What'll it be?
I'd like a drink of water, please.
Very good, sir. And perhaps a saucer of milk for the tortoise?
Oh, thank you.
That's very kind. Thank you.
No problem. Here we get all sorts in here. Stoics, cynics, Epicureans, epistemologists, peripatetics, all sorts.
Do any of them know much about gods? How they came to exist, that sort of thing?
Cosmic speculation. Oh, not in here, mate. Start talking about where the gods exist, and the next moment there's a bolt of lightning through the roof with a note wrapped round it saying, yes, we do, and a pair of sandals with smoke coming out. I'll tell you what, though.
What?
You could try old Didactylos.
Where would I find him?
In the citadel, next door to the library. You can't miss him. He's open for business most mornings.
Thank you. I think I'm a bit busy in the morning.
A gentleman. The tyrant will see you now.
Brother.
Yes, Lord.
You will recall all that is said.
Yes, Lord.
Have you lost something?
No, Lord.
Do be seated, all of you.
I am Deacon Vorbis of the Quisition.
Yes, you torture people, don't you? Please take a seat. I'll have it finished in a minute.
Have what finished?
The peace treaty.
But that is what we are here to discuss.
No, that is what you were here to sign. Do make yourselves comfortable, meanwhile. Has your young assistant lost something?
Me? No. No, just looking around.
Library. Library. Where's the wretched library?
Didactylus the Ephebian never achieved the respect of his fellow philosophers, but he it was who posed the famous conundrum. Yes, but what's it really all about then, when you get right down to it, I mean, really?
What's this? Didactylus and nephew, practical philosophers. No proposition too large. We can do your thinking for you.
Oi, uncle.
A tortoise.
Where?
There. Shoot yourself, you lazy bugger.
Oh, wow.
There's good eating on them. Grab it.
There will be no more respite, Lord Bobbis. We will harass your shipping unless you sign. But it is nearing noon and the day is hot. Shall we meet again at sunset?
Our deliberations may take longer. I ask for time until tomorrow morning.
As you wish. In the meantime, the palace is at your disposal. When you require meals, just mention the fact to the nearest slave.
In Om, we have no word for slave.
Perhaps fish have no word for water. Good day, gentlemen.
Brother.
Lord.
You are a young man visiting a new place. No doubt there is much you wish to see.
There is?
You are my eyes and ears. Learn about this place and be back by sunset.
Yes, Lord. I thought I might have a look at the library.
Look everywhere.
Yes, Lord.
Got another 40 obols as a cat do it again.
Talking money, Zeno.
Yeah, and it's about to say goodbye.
Don't be daft. The creature's just doing some kind of mating dance.
Yes. That's
never eye parting news. It's all wiggly.
Oh, come on.
All right. Double or nothing. I can't do a dodecagon.
Yeah, but he couldn't do a septagon just now.
Worried, eh? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 sides! Ah! Told you it wasn't any good. Who heard of a tortoise doing geometry? I'll take that. Yes, satisfaction another day.
We're still 30 obols up, Master.
Pity you didn't know the difference between 10 and 12.
I do.
It does.
Oh, yeah. Damn thing just lost me 80 obols.
Tell the idiot I can get him odds of 3 to 1 tomorrow.
He says, tomorrow, you should be able to get odds of 3 to 1.
I thought there was something funny about this creature. And says, there's a tortoise. And I said, oh, there's lunch.
And then he says, no. It's dragging its tail in the sand, doing geometry. I'm looking for a philosopher. One that knows about gods.
Have you read Uncle's book?
What?
Master did a book. De Colonia Mogulae.
Not really a book. More a scroll. Just a little thing I knocked off.
Does it say that the world is flat and goes through space on the back of a giant turtle?
Oh, have you read it? What do you want to know about gods?
How they start, and how they grow, and what happens to them afterwards. Let's step into the library for a minute.
Gods. You want to know about gods. Here's Zeno's reflections, and old Aristocrates' platitudes, and Ibid's bloody stupid discourses.
These are all books.
Oh, yes. Everyone writes them here. You can't stop the buggers.
In Omnia, there's only one book.
Here's Uncle's book.
Nice title page. Nice pictures.
See? How can this be true? The world on the back of a turtle. Why does everyone tell me this? This can't be true.
Why deny the obvious?
Surely the world is a perfect sphere. And what's this?
Oh, that's a map of the world.
What's that?
It's a sort of picture that shows you where you are.
How does it know? But is all this true?
Could be. We are here, and it is now.
The way I see it, after that, everything tends towards guesswork.
You mean you don't know it's true?
I think it might be. I could be wrong.
But if you don't know...
You don't like it, do you? All this, all these different thoughts. You can't be sure, can you? I went to Omnia once, before I lost my sight. I saw a crowd stoning a man to death in a pit.
It has to be done. The state of the...
Oh, I'm not talking about the poor sod in the pit. I'm talking about the people throwing the stones. They were sure, all right. They were sure it wasn't them in the pit. So glad it wasn't them that they were throwing just as hard as they could.
I've got a Brassus's on religion.
You can bowl it if you want. He went out into the desert and talked to the small gods.
Thank you.
Stop walking up and down. I'm trying to read this scroll.
How can people talk like that? Acting as if they're glad they don't know things. Finding out more and more things they don't know. It's like children showing you their potty.
They find things out. Oh, this Abraxas was a thinker and no mistake. Didn't know some of this stuff. Do sit down! Thank you. Now listen to this. Do you know how gods get power?
By people believing in them. Millions of people believe in you.
They don't. Not anymore.
But
it happened before. Abraxas, you see, found the lost city of E. Very strange carvings, he says. Belief shifts.
I don't understand.
Let me put it another way. I'm your god, right?
Yes.
And you'll obey me?
Yes.
Take a rock and kill Vorbit.
What?
Go on, you heard me.
Well, he's... The Quisitions were...
See? You're more afraid of him than you are of me.
Oh.
Listen to Abraxas. Around the god, there forms a shell of prayers and ceremonies and buildings and priests and authority until at last the god dies. And this may not be noticed.
That can't be true.
I think it is.
But that means... The whole church?
Yes.
Well, you're not dead.
Next best thing. So, I've been thinking. I still exist. Still exists. All you'd have to do is to get people to understand. You can be the next prophet.
I can't. Everyone knows that Vorbis will be the next prophet.
But you'll be official.
No.
No? I am your god!
But I'm me. I'm not a prophet. I can't even read. No one will listen to me.
Well, I admit you're not the chosen one I would have chosen.
But what could I say?
Believe in the great god Om.
And then what?
What do you mean, and then what?
Brother?
Lord Vorbis.
You will accompany me on a little stroll. We will take the evening air.
Yes, Lord Vorbis.
You are enjoying your visit to Ephesi?
It's been interesting.
And what do you think of it?
They've got many gods, and they don't pay them much attention, and they search for ignorance.
And find it in abundance. Let us walk. Ephesi looks to the sea, whereas our own dear citadel looks towards the high desert. And what do we see there?
Flash of light. And again... On the desert slopes.
The light of truth. Let us go forth to meet it. You must know the way through the labyrinth.
Yes, Lord.
Let us enter it.
Yes, Lord.
Truth